Let's get right to Puerto Rico, which is dealing with a humanitarian crisis as millions remain without power, water, or any way to contact the mainland U.S. President Trump says he'll visit the island next week. Here he is speaking today at the White House.
Puerto Rico is very important to me, and Puerto Rico, the people are fantastic people. I grew up in New York, so I know many people from Puerto Rico. I know many Puerto Ricans, and these are great people, and we have to help them.
NPR's Camila Domonoske is in Puerto Rico. Camila, you've been reporting east of San Juan. What are you seeing?
We were out yesterday in Luisa and the Rio Grande, and there were a lot of people who are stuck. Their cars were flooded, or they just don't have gas for their cars. They can't leave. Virtually all of the island has no power right now and no running water in many areas. And some people are running low on food, or they've completely run out of necessary medicines. And it's a really difficult situation.
Is there any sense of when power might be restored?
People are bracing for this to last for a very long time. No one thinks their power is going to be back within days in this region. We're looking at weeks at the least, and people are talking about the possibility of months.
And where you are in San Juan, is there power there in parts, or is that also without power?
The utilities say they've restored power to a couple major hospitals, but for the most part, no. Businesses here that are open are running off generator power and having to find the fuel to keep those generators going.
We were speaking today with an aid worker who said that the aid that they need may be on the island, but they can't get it to the places on the island that need it. What are you hearing about aid?
Absolutely. We were just today at the port here in San Juan, which is open, but that's not the same as aid being sent out to the mountains or to the other coasts of Puerto Rico. And it's really difficult to be on the roads right now. There's not a lot of gas, and many of the roads are still very difficult to navigate. Now that there are relief, you know, materials here, that doesn't mean that people actually have them available to them.
You've been reporting on the lengths that people are going to reach the outside world, people gathering by cell phone towers and along highways where cell signals are starting to reappear. Are people having any better luck trying to reach the mainland U.S.?
Every day, more and more people get through as, you know, the signal comes back a little more. People find more roads being passable. It's getting better gradually. There are still people who have not made contact with their families on the mainland. And, you know, it brings them to tears when they talk about imagining what their grandchildren or cousins or parents are thinking when they don't hear from them. It's an incredibly difficult situation on both sides of the equation. For the family over there, you know, I met people when we were in Miami who were trying desperately to get to Puerto Rico to see their families. And then here in Puerto Rico, people who want to get word out to say that they're okay or to ask for help to say that they need a generator shipped in, and they can't reach out. So it's gradually getting better, but there are certainly still people who haven't had that chance to make contact.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend who's got family in Puerto Rico who lives in New Jersey, who said some guy with a landline called Christina's sister to pass on the message that her parents have some water damage, but everyone is fine and they all have supplies, but they still haven't been able to actually talk to the family at this point. Just a message from a guy in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's very common. People are taking messages for whole groups of people so that if somebody manages to get through, they can send the word out. I was talking to one guy who also said, you know, I only need to make one contact. I just need to reach one person on the mainland, and they'll tell everybody else. But you have to make that one contact, and some people haven't.
What has stood out to you as you watch this crisis unfold in Puerto Rico?
What I keep coming back to is the fact that this is just beginning. You know, people casually say that they don't expect their kids to be in school for months. People are out of work. Their jobs have been destroyed by the damage caused by the hurricane. When we were sitting at the gas station yesterday where there was no gas, but people were waiting for a tanker to arrive at some point in the future with no idea of when that might be. That, to me, was encapsulating the sense on so much of the island of there's no idea of when things will be back to normal, and people are relying on their neighbors, relying on their friends, but it's incredibly difficult, and there's not that light at the end of the tunnel in sight for people.
And judging by the scenes we've seen at the airport, it sounds like a lot of people are just ready to leave Puerto Rico and, if they can, get to the mainland.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely situations on the island that are really not livable. At the same time, I was talking to a man, Jose Torres, in Rio Grande yesterday, who is stuck in a house with no power, no running water. They're running low on food. He said they have some bananas and some root vegetables that were growing outside their house that they're eating. But I asked him if he was going to leave, and he said, what are we going to do? Are we all going to leave? It's like this all over Puerto Rico. There aren't enough planes to get us all out of here.
That's NPR reporter Camila Domonoske joining us from San Juan, Puerto Rico. Camila, thank you so much for your reporting.
Thanks, Jeremy.